This chazar zeichin eshe bachichas v'shag v'mi yehudim sechad zvachim daf yud alef. So our Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva says, if the blood of any carbon that is supposed to be offered on the outside of mizbeach is instead offered on the inside of mizbeach, the carbon is pasul. The Chum say that's only true regarding a chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says also true for an asham. Fidek Mar Leviu, Rabbi Eliezer, is based on the hekesh between chatas and asham. What's the basis for the view of the Rabbanon? And Fidek Mar Rava said the blood of an asham offered inside can't make the asham pasul based on a kav v'chemer from oila. If oila, which is entirely offered on a mizbeach, doesn't become pasul when the blood is offered inside, certainly an asham that doesn't become pasul when it's offered on the inside of mizbeach. Fidek Mar, maybe an oila doesn't become pasul this way because it doesn't provide a kapara. Mar said the minchas chatas brings a kapara, and yet it doesn't become possible in this way. Fekmar, why didn't he disprove this using a bird chatas instead of a mincha chatas? Mar says because Rabbi Oven actually questions whether a bird chatas becomes possible in this way. Fekmar, we can ask that a minchas chatas is different since it doesn't require shchita. And Fekmar, the oil needs shchita, and yet it doesn't become possible in this way. So it shows that's not the determinative factor over here. We can go back and forth with the tzara shava being that oila and mincha are both kachi kachim, and offering them in the inside mizbech does not make them possible. The same can be said for an ashram as well. Fekmar, Rava Mibarne asked Rav Ashi, why don't we ask that Oshem can't be grouped together with them because an Oshem has a minimum required value whereas the others don't? Rather, Zakmar, the reason for the view of the Rabbanon is that the pasuk regarding Chatas says Domo, its blood, which teaches that this halacha is specific to Chatas. Rabbi Yezer would dash in Domo to teach it. It only becomes possible if its blood is offered inside, not if its meat is offered inside. The Rabbanon dash in Dam, Domo. So they have two drushes. Rabbi Yezer doesn't dash in Domo into two drushes. A braisa says, Rav Shimon says, the pasuk regarding a mincha says, kachatas ka'asham. It compares a mincha to a chatas and compares a mincha to an asham. According to Rabbanan, who say that an asham shechted not lishma doesn't become pasul, so this makes sense because the pasuk is saying that a chatas mincha is like a chatas and becomes pasul if the kemitah is done not lishma, and a mincha's nedova is like an asham and that if the kemitah is done not lishma, it's valid. However, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that even an asham is pasul when it's shechted not lishma, what purpose is a mincha compared to a chatas and also to an asham? And for the Gemara, it's needed for another drasha of Rav Shimon in a Mishnah where he says, that if a kaimis is not placed into a kli sharis, it's still kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rechia, says this is based on the pasuk of kachatas ka'asham, which teaches that if the kain does it by hand, it should be done with the right hand like a chatas. If it's done with a keli, it can be done with the left hand like an asham. If Shimon uses the pasuk for the other drasha, how can he also use it for this drasha? And if he really uses the pasuk to teach the halacha regarding the kli sharis, the halacha of the shema he learns from another pasuk. He says we know a chatas must be lishma based on the word who. The pasuk regarding a chatas mincha says he, which also teaches that if it's offered not lishma, it's pasul. According to Rabbanan, our Mishnah, for what purpose is a chatas compared to an asham? Mar says it's to teach that an asham needs smicha like a chatas. Mishnah then said, Yosef ben Chani Yomer HaNeshchotim v'chulu. Zakmar Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yosef ben Chani and Rabbi Eliezer say the same thing. Rabbi said they argue regarding other kavanos that were shechted for the sake of a chatos. Mar said, we see this from a braisa which says that if an animal designated as a Pesach is now older than a year, which is possible to be used for a Pesach and therefore gets a din of a shlamim, but it's nonetheless shechted as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, or an animal designated as any other type of carbon which is shechted as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer says it's a possible carbon. Rabbi Yeshua says it's a kosher carbon, not as a Pesach, but for the other carbon. Rabbi Yeshua said, if during the rest of the year when a Pesach is not kosher, if it's shechted for the sake of a Pesach. If other korbanos are shechted for a Pesach, they're kosher, then on Erev Pesach, when a Pesach itself is kosher, when it's shechted for the sake of a Pesach, certainly other korbanos would be kosher if they're shechted for the sake of a Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer said, using that logic, we can also learn a halacha, which is obviously not true, but that you should be able to say, if during the rest of the year a Pesach offered for its sake is possible. And yet, if it's offered for the sake of another korban, it's kosher, then on Erev Pesach, when it's kosher, when it's offered for its own sake, certainly it should be kosher if it's offered for the sake of another korban. Now, this halacha is not true. Rather, the reason why other korbanos are valid the rest of the year when they're offered for the sake of a Pesach is because a Pesach offered for the sake of another korban for the rest of the year is actually kosher. However, on Erev Pesach, the Pesach will be possible if it's offered for the sake of another korban. So other korbanos that are offered for the sake of the Pesach at that time are also possible. This is where actually Dr. Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan would see from Rabbi Eliezer that just as a chatas is possible when offered for the sake of another korban, any other korban would be possible if it's offered for the sake of a chatas. But the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yeshua said, this would make the shlomim more stringent than a Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer therefore dashed another drasha to prove his ruling. He said, the leftover Pesach is brought as a shlomim, but a leftover shlomim may not be brought as a Pesach. Yet, a Pesach on Erev Pesach is possible if it's offered for the sake of a shlomim. So certainly a shlomim offered as a Pesach on Erev Pesach should be possible. Rabbi Yeshua said, a leftover chatas can at times be used to purchase and bring an oila, although a leftover oila can never be brought as a chatas. Now, even so, a chatas shechted for the sake of oila is possible. So we should also say, that an oila offered as a chatas should be possible. This is where Rabbah Zakhlumar would say that from here we see Rabbi Eliezer holds that anything offered for a chatas would be kosher. The market continues. Rabbi Eliezer said this is not a good comparison. A chatas is valid the entire year when it's offered for its own sake, for lishma, and that may be why an oila is kosher when it's offered for the sake of a chatas. However, a Pesach is possible when it's offered for its own sake at any time other than a Pesach afternoon, and that may be why another carbon offered for its sake at that time would be possible. Mishnah said Shimon Achi Azar Yoimer v'chulor. Rashi named Rabbi Yechon and Rachel the son of Rav and the name Rabbi Yani taught that the reason of Shimon Achi Azar is based on the pasuk of V'lo Yichalu as Kodesh Bnei Yisrael Es Asher Yarimu LaHashem. This is Darshan to teach that if something is raised Yarimu, it doesn't become mechulol, but if it's lowered, it does become mechulol. Furthermore, this pasuk used for another drasha regarding the eating of Tevel. Mar said the pasuk could have said Asher Hurmu. Instead, it says Asher Yarimu. It lasts for both drashas. Furthermore, Rabbi Zera asks, does he mean that when offered for the sake of a carbon of greater kedusha, the carbon is kosher, but does not fulfill the obligation of the owner, and in that way he only argues in the Tanakhama in one respect? Or does he mean that such a carbon even fulfills the obligation of the owner, and he would therefore argue with the Tanakhama in two respects, meaning the validity of the carbon and the fulfillment of the obligation? Furthermore, Abaya, or maybe Rav Zrika, said that we can answer from the example that Shimon gives in the Mishnah. He says that a Bechor or Meiser offered as a Shlomim is kosher, but the reverse is not. Now, Bechor or Meiser has no fulfillment associated with them. They bring no kapara, no obligation of a neder. Clearly, with regard to these, the Mishnah means that they're kosher, but they don't affect any fulfillment. Similarly, the other case the Mishnah must mean that they're kosher, but they don't affect any fulfillment of any obligation. Why can't we say that part of the Mishnah doesn't refer to fulfillment of an obligation, but the other parts of the Mishnah maybe do? If this is not what he was teaching with his example, why did we need this example? He already said that kachet kalim offered as kachet kachim are kosher, and the reverse is possible. Mara said, no, it could be we needed the case of Bechor Ma'aser offered as for a Shlama to teach that this rule of greater kedusha and lesser kedusha applies even within the category of kachet kalim. Furthermore, another mission already discusses that there's a hierarchy within kachet kalim. And furthermore, our mission is the primary source for this rule. That other mission only mentions it incidentally. Zok, the next mission, if a Pesach is offered not for its own sake on the morning of Erev Pesach, as opposed to its proper time in the afternoon, Rabbi Yeshua says it's kosher as if it was offered on the 13th of Nisan. Ben Beseir says it's possible as if it was offered like that on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Shimon Azay said, I have a Kabbalah from 72 Zokain. Oh, the Sanhedrin. We'll have to see why he says Zokain, not Zakenim. That on the day that they were appointed Rabbi Lozman Azari to be Nasi, that all karbonis that are eaten, which are shechted not for their own sake, they're kosher, but they don't fulfill the obligation of the owner, except for a Pesach and a Chatos. Now, the Mishnah says this ruling only adds an oila as also being possible, whereas the Tanakhama, the previous Mishnah, holds that an oila would be kosher in this case. However, the Chachamim did not agree with him. Zochim Rabbi Lozman named Rav Shaya said, Ben Beseir would say that a Pesach shechted l'shma on the morning of Erev Pesach is kosher because the entire day is considered to be its proper time to be shechted. We may ask, if so, what did Ben Beseir mean in the Mishnah when he said that if it's offered in the afternoon, since the morning is perfectly fine as well? The reason is that since Rabbi Yeshua said as if, so Ben Beseir also uses that type of verbiage as well. If so, why did they argue in a case of where it was offered not l'shma on the morning of Erev Pesach? Why did they argue in a case where it was offered l'shma on Erev Pesach in the morning of Erev Pesach? And v'tigmar, if they would have argued in that case, we would have thought that in that case where it's offered not l'shma, Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Ben Beseir since part of the day is fit for a carbon Pesach. The Mishnah therefore teaches that Rabbi Yeshua says that a Pesach offered not l'shma on the morning of Erev Pesach is kosher. V'tigmar, the pasuk says that the Pesach must be brought bein harbayim, which means in the afternoon. So how can Ben Beseir say it's kosher when it's shechted l'shma in the morning? Ula, the son of Rabbi Lo, said he would explain the pasuk to mean between two evenings. Bein Arba'im mean two evenings, would include the morning of Erev Pesach, meaning between the evening of the night before and the evening of the first night of Pesach as well. Furthermore, the pasuk regarding the second carbon Talmud also says Bein Arba'im. Does this mean that it may be brought any time during the day? Mar said regarding Talmud, the pasuk says that the first one has to be brought in the morning. Therefore, Bein Arba'im must be understood literally as referring to the afternoon. Furthermore, maybe one has to be brought in the morning, the other one can be brought any time during the day. Mar says no. The pasuk says Ho Echo Tase Baboiker, which teaches then only one of them can be brought in the morning. In fact, the pasuk regarding the lighting of the menorah also says Bein Arba'im. Does this mean it can be done any time during the day? Whereas the pasuk says Me'er Bad Baik, which a brisa says teaches that it should be lit so that it can last from evening till morning. We see it has to be lit in the evening, not the morning. In fact, the pasuk regarding the ketores also says Bein Arba'im. Does this also mean that it may be done at any time during the day? Furthermore, the pasuk makes a hekesh from the lighting of the menorah to the offering of the ketores. It teaches that the ketores must be offered in the afternoon. In fact, the pasuk regarding Pesach says Shom Tizbach Es HaPesach Ba'orev, which clearly means it has to be done in the afternoon. How could Rabbi Shai say it different? That pasuk just teaches that it's offered, but that if it's offered in the afternoon, it should be offered after the afternoon tamid. Can it be that in the morning it's considered proper, but yet if it's brought in the afternoon, you have to wait till after the tamid is brought? Mar says, yeah, we find this concept also in a halacha from Rabbi Yochanan that although musaf can be daven in the morning, if it was not, and the time of mincha has now arrived, you should first daven mincha and only afterwards daven musaf. According to Rabbi Shai, since Bein Arba'im doesn't on its own mean in the afternoon, why did the pesukim regarding the lighting of menorah and the bringing of the ketores even use these words? Also, a brisa clearly says that Rebbe said that Ben Beseir holds only part of the day of Erev Pesach is fit for offering the carbon Pesach. Clearly, Zakhtamar Rabbi Shaya must be incorrect.